200 to go in a dash to the post. It's Exemplar, joined by Persan, headed by Persan. WT got to third, but Persan, 100 metres to go, is racing clear against the older horses, and one well. Punched out hands and heels, a length and a half.
Hello, welcome to this special edition of The Trainer's Heart. I'm Todd Blum, your host here in the Sports Thought Studios. Bit of a spin-off series here for The Trainer's Heart. We're going to have a bit of a race day review, speak to a couple of key people who were involved in the previous weekend's racing. And first off the rank, we're going to focus on Group 1 Memsie Stakes Day there at Caulfield and just give the listeners to the show a couple of horses to follow through for the remainder of the spring. And we're kicking the show off today with Darcy Judd, who's director of Express Racing. They had Express Pass win the second event on the card, and James Bester, one of the biggest names in Australian bloodstock, is going to join me to speak about Persan, a horse that he is involved in and purchased as a weanling. So now we're in the focus to the early part of the card here as we kick off the race day review in the Trainer's Hut. Now let's kick it off with Darcy Judd of Express Racing. Darcy had Express Pass on the weekend, mate. He's back-to-back wins this prep, and G looked impressive at the weekend, the way he motored home. How's he come through the run?
Yeah, really, really good. We got a video off Nick about an hour after the run. He's in the sand roll, big rooting, enjoying himself. You wouldn't know he'd ever gone around, so pretty impressive to see.
He's had two benchmark 78 wins this time in Bendigo and now in town. How far can he progress this spring, do you think, Darcy?
Well, we'll just take it one run at a time, the old saying, but we've got a good opportunity to go through his grades and you only get that once, so we're not going to push him straight up to listed or group grade again unless something happens. But look, there's a benchmark 84 at Moonee Valley in 4 weeks and it seems to be working, spacing his runs. He was 4 weeks between runs there and he's probably done the best run of his life, really. I know he's run well in group races, but he put everything together on the weekend.
He's had a Caulfield Guineas prep as a three-year-old. Does he stay at the sprinting races this time in, or will Nick try and stretch him out to a mile again?
No, we think he's a short course trip horse. We didn't really get a guide in the Caulfield Guineas prelude. We had a horse stumble in front of us and take him out of the race. So we thought the 1400 metre race would give us a good guide, so you're on a Guineas pass, you got to go there. But we soon realised that he's not a miler, and there's very few horses that can run the sectionals that he can do, so no use taking that away from him. We'll keep him to the short trips.
$38,000 purchase, Darcy, for Express, really got the boutique syndication going. He's now on over 125,000. How did he get selected at the English Voba sale?
I wasn't really a part of that. Jeff Gordon, he selects our horses for us. He's got a really good eye for a horse. So he purchased it. A bit of a roundabout way of getting to us. He's in the care of someone else, another owner. He wanted to get rid of a few horses, unfortunately. That one went somewhere else for him. So we were very fortunate to get him. It was just pure luck that we could secure him because he was a very nice type. But that Jeff Gordon needs the brains behind it all, mate. We're happy to keep him selecting our horses.
He certainly does have a very good eye for a horse. But rule number one of syndication, always claim the credit, mate.
We'll take that again.
Two more to come through for Express Racing. Darcy, Rapid Ruby, who's a Rubik filly. She's not far off coming back into the stable, I believe. And then you've gone to the gold sale again this year and purchased an absolute weapon of a horse by Rebel Raider.
Yeah, Rebel Raider, he's an absolute weapon, like you say. He's not very well bred, and we got him for a pretty penny. And he's done everything right so far, so pretty excited about him. And Rapid Ruby, she's coming back into the stables this week, and you wouldn't believe how well she's done in the paddock. She's a different horse. She looks fantastic, so I'm really excited about her. And throwing in a little cheeky nom to the Blue Diamond, So we'll see how far she can take us.
Always a positive sign. Express Racing, mate, tell us a little bit about it. The boutique syndication company, done with Nick Ryan there, who's definitely a trainer on the up, as we well know, especially listeners to this show. He was on the last edition. But tell us a bit about how Express Racing came about.
I've always been involved in it. I haven't really come from a racing family, I wouldn't say. My dad's always bred from race horses himself. So I've always been around it. Grew up in Albury. I was always hanging around Robbie Wellington's stables, Brett Kavanagh's stables. And then Nick came and did a bit of work for Brett. That's how I got to know him. So I gave Nick a call about 2 years ago, I think. Said, mate, I wouldn't mind getting a syndication licence and having a crack. So I said, yeah, too easy, let's do it. Got us a horse, Express Pass, and he's doing a good job for us.
There's certainly colours that I'm fully expecting to see more of in the race book in the future, and particularly on Express Pass, who looks like he's set for a nice spring, working his way up through the grades, and plenty more wins in store.
Yeah, I think so. There might be a little grand final for him, Melbourne Cup or Derby Day. So we'll see how we go there.
The listeners will have to keep one eye on him and see how he goes. Thanks for joining me, mate, and all the best for the rest of the spring.
Too easy. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Joining me on the line now is the leading bloodstock agent in Australia, James Bester. And James Persan, he was impressive again at the weekend over the 2400. He's now won 5 of his last 7, the other 2 being seconds. He's as honest as a day is long, isn't he?
He sure is, Todd. I think he's a very exciting horse and he's headed towards the Cups. A long way to go yet, but at least there's a goal.
I wanted to ask you about what his goal would be, because he's certainly shaping as a horse that could progress through the grades nicely and get in with a nice little weight on his back, isn't he?
He's gained a lot of confidence. Do you know that he, as a 2-year-old, took a bad fall in front of the grandstand on what was Winx's last ever day on the race course? So there were 50,000 people crowding the course at Randwick, and in the first race, right in front of the grandstand, he somersaulted when he clipped heels. Two horses came down, 2 jockeys. It could have been the greatest disaster to what was an historic day, but fortunately horses, riders all came out of it unscathed, but the horse may have lost a little confidence then.
Yeah, it's a pretty big test of his character there, isn't it, to see the way that he's come back, because as a three-year-old, he came back and still ran in some pretty good races, such as the Spring Champion Stakes and even the Champagne as a 2-year-old, but he certainly found a good run of form since joining the Mara Newster stable.
Yes. Look, we probably overfaced him a little as a late 2-year-old and as an early 3-year-old because we had a huge opinion of the horse. He just wasn't being ridden in the way he is now. He was being restrained earlier in his races and being asked to run on at the finish, and he probably lacked the real decisive turn of speed to cope with that way of being ridden. He found his way to the Mara Eustace yard, and after long chats with David Eustace, he agreed to allow the horse to run using his stride and just allowing him to flow and run on in a rhythmic kind of a manner, because these Pierrots, they thrive on that, the way Lavendi did, the way Pino did. They have extraordinary cardiovascular capacity and lovely actions. Ryan Moore always told me the best way to ride, especially a stayer, is on a rhythm, neither breaking stride to disappoint the horse by restricting him a little or suddenly asking him to increase speed. Just keep on a rhythm, Ryan always said. And all credit to the Mara Eustace team. That's exactly the way they've progressed with this horse.
Yeah, you mentioned in the rhythm there, he looked on song on Saturday, didn't he? And I suppose in his previous runs as well, this preparation, but he certainly looks almost bomb-proof, doesn't he? He just sits in a nice spot, relaxes through, and as you say, builds up, and he's added that little bit of turn of foot in the straight there as he's got a little bit older over the distances.
Yes, look, I mean, there is a truism that slow horses run fast past trees, and at the end of most races, most horses are slowing down, so that the horse who looks as though he's accelerating is often just maintaining his pace. But the thing about this horse is he was ambushed at his penultimate start. You know, he travelled beautifully as usual, looked like he had the race won, went to win it, and then that lightweight stablemate carrying 8 kilograms less ambushed him out wide. He didn't even have a chance to respond, you know, in the last stride or two. So he's been pretty flawless his last, I suppose, 5 runs anyway. Because, yes, he jumps, and he jumps keenly enough. He can be put wherever you want him. And he's now relaxing nicely there, and he does exactly what you ask when you ask him.
Speaking of relaxing, I believe he's trained out of the Ballarat system that Kieran Maher and David Eustace have, and that seems to be really suiting him down to the ground as well.
I have no doubt that makes a big difference. It's wonderful when these training setups can offer that range of facilities where each horse can be slotted into the system that suits him or her best.
And the program going forward, James, I think the Ansett Classic there at Mornington is a race that's potentially been touted for him. Could he sneak into a Bart Cummins or some of these staying features on the way to the Cups? What's that sort of looking like?
Yes, hopefully. David mentioned after the race that the Ansett was a possibility, or possibly the Bart Cummins as well. Subsequent to that, we've had a report where I think in a fortnight there's a nice race at Flemington for him. He loves Flemington, as he's shown, and from there possibly it's either a fortnight or 3 weeks later into the Bart Cummins. So I'm not sure that the Ansett will happen. It may be that he goes to Flemington and then to the Bart Cummins.
Now, James, I want to speak about the horse and passed in as a yearling. So it was purchased as a weanling, the Magic Millions, for $160,000 under James Best of Bloodstock, and then passed in for $300,000 reserve as a yearling. It seems cheap now, doesn't it?
It does. I bought 3 weanlings that year, or a few more too, but 3 in particular stand out, because one was the Derby winner, Quick Thinker, and one was a very good Western Australian horse called Laverod by Toronado, and Persan, of course. And all 3 were bought for a Chinese client with a view to re-offering them at the English Easter sale. They all got there. I think Quick Thinker was lot 1 in the ring, or very early on, maybe lot in the first 10 lots anyway.
Yeah.
And he was passed in short of $100,000 reserve, and then bought afterwards. Laverod was passed in and bought afterwards, and so was Persan. Now, Persan wasn't in fact bought immediately after the sale, as were the other 2. His Chinese owner decided to race on with him, and unfortunately then ran into a few little difficulties, more political difficulties than anything else in China. And the horse had to be sold, at which point I put together a little group of enthusiasts. That was Ananda Krishnan of Kiora Stud and Robert McClure, Bruce Wilson, and we decided, and Aquis and Nick Joachim were in him as well at the time, and we decided to take him over from my Chinese client. And he looked promising, and then you know, the wheels kind of fell off when he tumbled in front of the stand that day, as I said, and then didn't quite, you know, get his groove going. Eventually, a couple of them sold out, and he changed stables and went to the Maher Eustace stable. And the rest is history. He's certainly being aimed at the Cups events, but that's, you know, as I said, quite a lofty aim, and one doesn't know if one will get there. But if you don't shoot high, you don't get anywhere, do you?
Absolutely, that's correct. Now, what did they miss at the sales, James? What was it that maybe he didn't attract the buyer's attention for that price?
Ah, Todd, you know, it's the way of the world, not just Australia, but people go to the sales looking for precocious two-year-old types. You know, everybody wants to win a Magic Millions or a Golden Slipper, and I don't blame them. I do too. And they go there looking for the progeny of sires like Snitzel and I Am Invincible and those kind of specialist two-year-old sires. They overlook the So You Thinks and the Pierrots, the Toronados. And that's exactly what happened in this case. There was a So You Think, a Pierrot and a Toronado that just drew scant attention. I think for that reason, you know, everybody's after the quick return. You know, people, they forget that that two-year-old season goes by very quickly with two-thirds of the horses not even making it to the track through shin soreness and various other little setbacks. And there's life after two-year-old racing, and particularly for horses who can get a mile and further.
Well, the three stains you just mentioned, Pierrot, So You Think, Toronado, if they keep doing what they're doing on the track, they won't be getting missed much longer, will they?
Exactly that. And, you know, Pinot, who won the Oaks, was all but passed in. I mean, she was bought off one bed on her reserve price at East. I was part of her ownership, and she didn't make it to the track at two, but what a time we had at three. And, you know, that happens so often. It's just a pity that that patience isn't really there.
Well, you mentioned the group involved, James, some very good clients and friends amongst it. It's always fun when the horses are winning, but it's better when they're winning with good people. So all the best for the rest of the spring, and we might even try and touch base a little bit later and see how Persan's tracking.
Let's hope he gives us reason to talk again. Thanks, Todd. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
James Bester there, speaking about Persan, and certainly looks a horse with a very, very bright future. It just goes to show that if you can look beyond the early speed, there are plenty of horses out there, and a lot's been made of the fact that a majority of our higher prize money races are as you get a little bit older and a little bit further. So we're a big part of the shift here in the trainer's hut to get that speed imbalance out of the breeding industry. And as we've said before, it's not going to happen overnight. But I believe the wheel is certainly turning. And if horses such as Persan, who's a colt too, by the way, it can certainly aid in the shift of that. That's it for our first edition of the spin-off series Race Day Review here in the Trainer's Hut. Hope you enjoyed the first edition. Let me know, as always, bit of feedback always warranted. And you can get in touch with us on the Twitter at TB Bloodstock and Facebook and Instagram, search Sport Thought. As always, the show is brought to you by TobblonBloodstock.com. And if you're liking what you're hearing, this might be the first episode. You want to listen to the full edition of The Trainer's Hut, jump on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you'll be able to follow and subscribe and tune in to the show and have a listen to some of the big names that we've had. Enjoy having your company for this special edition. I'll see you next time in The Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum. See you then.